We Talk Podcast presents. Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson. Today we talk UFC, Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan, and Bree Mode. So check it out.
Welcome to One Fall with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot and the one, the only baby face in the world, the ultimate Brie Bella fan, Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Not too bad. It's a busy week in the world of wrestling and mixed martial arts.
You think, okay, this is the week that things are going to slow down finally. It's going to be okay. We're going to finally kind of get focus on the shows, focus on the content in the ring. But no. Everything has to go to hell. And we got to talk about it. So,
yeah, I mean, no rest for the wicked. I do feel that we catch a little bit more of a break ever since we've gone to Wednesday, unlike Dave Meltzer, where he puts the newsletter out on the Tuesday. I feel like the Wednesday has been a kind of a sweet spot for us.
Yeah, I guarantee you something's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, of course it will. So before we get to Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, everything, I think we start with the thing that continues, the injury bug and roster depth in the WWE. So, you know, we officially talked about one guy that's officially off the roster,
yep.
Daniel Bryan. He's officially retired. We did a whole podcast on that, but we'll lead him really quickly because it is the biggest story of the week. It's headline ESPN, Sports Illustrated. Everybody, even if they're a non-wrestling fan, are talking about it. He went on to ESPN and talked to Jonathan Coachman and revealed that he had been having seizures.
Yeah, post-concussion seizures. So there was from what he had revealed was there was something on his brain that triggers seizures, and he couldn't figure it out for the life of him beforehand. And wasn't until he had these tests that revealed that if he kind of kept wrestling, the chances of him having a seizure in the middle of the ring, you got to think, was pretty likely.
So on the podcast that we did, which I still suggest everyone goes, I thought maybe in a few years he would wrestle. I'm now going to completely take myself out of that. I think he is done forever. And not only do I think, I'm hoping that he is done forever.
No, I would agree. I share that hope. I really do, because there's a certain point where, yeah, you love it. It's important. It's been your life. But is it worth going down that path?
I don't think so. And it was funny. Brie Bella was on the Michael Cole web show today and just kind of said that her and Brian had a moment the other day. They were walking down the street to Seattle, and Brian kind of looked at Brie and said that, "You're the wrestler in the family now, and it's going to be very weird for me to go to parties and introduce you as the wrestler. And me, I don't really know what I am yet." So he's kind of in this blank slate of not really knowing what he is yet.
Yeah, I think, same thing happened with Edge. Same thing happened with a few other guys that had to retire early, was figuring out.
Okay, I think the difference with Edge is, though, that Beth and him kind of started dating, I think, after both of them were done. And with this, Brian still knows that his wife is going to be on the road and traveling and wrestling. And I think that Brie had brought up that that's something that she thinks will be hard, kind of more or less confirming that what you had thought would happen may not be happening.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, was now you kind of think she's probably going to keep going for a little bit. I think in a way, kind of carry that Daniel Bryan spirit.
I think there's no chance she can't win that title. You have to give her the title.
Yeah, you have to give her that title, and even if it now becomes a fatal four-way at WrestleMania,
I'm fine with that.
Yep, and we will eventually get that women's one-on-one match with Sasha versus whoever, because that's
Charlotte mainly is what we want.
I want Bayley,
That's coming. I'm just saying we still want that. Sasha and Charlotte have been so good together, the two of them. They have never disappointed when the two of them have fought.
This is true. I kind of look at it and I kind of go, you know what? She's going to win it and the crowd's going to pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right moment. It's the right moment to do.
Like Christian. This is like Christian.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, even if Brie holds it for a little bit, Brie has been a women's champion, but I feel when the Bellas won the titles before, they were never the Bellas, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think now they're more established. When Nikki won and Brie won the titles before, you couldn't really defer which one was which.
Yeah.
So I think it makes more of a statement. This will be the Brie Bella moment in her career, beating Charlotte. And I'm rooting for her, to be honest. I think Charlotte's a better wrestler and a better performer overall.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for a little bit of Brie mode.
We need something positive.
Yeah, I think you know the yes chance you're going to be going. I would like the touch I think it'd be a really nice touch if you had Brian in her corner.
That would be I got no, and what him and Flair kind of go nose to nose.
Yeah.
Kind of scares.
There's no problem with him. He can give Flair a chopper. Flair can give him a chopper something.
Well, as long as nothing touches the head, then they should be all good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can still do those kind of spots. You know, those are going to be done. I see nothing wrong with him coming out, and I mean, I think that Brie Bella, that Michael Cole interview, she has so much lined up for her. She's really the ultimate babyface right now, Joel, because she has the stuff with Nikki, she has the stuff with Brian, and I really think we're set up for a promo this Monday night on Raw that Charlotte. She has everything lined up for her for the perfect heel promo.
Oh yeah. Cut into
Brian. I crippled your sister, your cousin's a cripple, and now I'm going to cripple you, or something like that.
Yeah, I can see something along those lines for sure.
So, how's about, would you have said, out of the quadrant, as we kind of like to say off air, between Brie, Cena, Nikki, and Brian, there's one left standing. And who would have thought it'd be Brie Bella?
It's crazy. I think it's hard to say out of the four, but it's surreal to think, because that was the four that we always talked about, and those being a domino effect. But now we kind of see that domino effect probably not going to happen.
The domino effect works differently because I think of how we thought it was going to be a Brian force out, but it seems like it was his choice.
Yeah, and it seems like the best thing. Like, the more you kind of sit there and you think about it, you're like, but Shinsuke and AJ and Joe and Sammy and Finn, but at the end of the day, I'd much rather have a human being be healthy than me entertained for half an hour.
Exactly, exactly. That's the thing you forget with the world of mixed martial arts and with the world of professional wrestling is these aren't video game characters. You know, these are real life. And I'm just hoping that Brie doesn't add herself to the list of that family, you know?
Man, it's been a rocky start to 2016. Like, there's been highs and lows. I'm hoping things kind of even out heading into WrestleMania.
I mean, Brie, if we're going to do our WrestleMania, just a preview, we're going to be picking our Hall of Fame for Fresh Take. Not for Fresh Take, Old Habit, for One Fall. And I would say, like, sympathetically for myself, for someone, I probably put Brie over them more than anybody. So Brie is kind of like a Hall of Famer all in herself from between me and Joel and me torturing Joel with the Brie mode theme song.
Yeah, I think I know my pick already pretty easy this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I think that it's Brie has her place, though, with the lore of One Fall over the years.
I think she does, but I also think, kind of, not to get too deep into this hole, because I think this is something more off-air conversation, and then have our reasoning when we do this big podcast. I think that when we look at our Hall of Fame, the guys that we believe for One Fall that has been influential in the podcast, influential in our fandom, I think there's still a lot of guys that probably supersede
Brie. Of course. I'm just joking around.
Yeah, I hope, because if I have to play Brie mode and listen to it, then we're gonna have a conversation.
Brie mode.
One of these days, it's gonna be. I'm not gonna tell you, and it's gonna be the intro for the podcast. I'm not gonna tell you, and it'll just simply play.
I may or may not cut something from the Michael Cole interview already.
Oh no!
It was a really good interview. I gotta say, that's the best. It's. We'll stop talking about Brie after this because there's so much more important things. But I would say it's, you know, it's so weird with Brie because she's so good on Total Divas. And there she was really good. But then you look at the stuff with Steph and it's like, okay, well, where is that stuff, Brie?
You know what? And here's, like, a lot of people have been talking. Why did Daniel Bryan get over? Some people can't figure out why Daniel Bryan got over. And I think I know why Daniel Bryan got over. It's not something that can be duplicated or replicated, or it, you can only try it and see what happens. And this is why Brie hits on Total Divas and hits on interviews like this, is because it's real.
Yeah.
It's like at least 80% real. Daniel Bryan in that promo on Monday night was 100% real.
And yeah.
Damn it if that wasn't probably one of the best promos this year. There'll probably be betters out there. But it was real. It was genuine. It had emotion. It had highs and lows. It had funny moments. It had sad moments. And with Brie Bella, when she is real, when she's a real, tangible person, not this cutout character that the WWE has her portray, she connects.
Yeah.
So let her be Brie Bella. She doesn't have to be anything else. She doesn't have to be this Barbie doll that WWE has for some of these divas, where they have to be these certain types, where they can only say and do certain things. Let Brie Bella be Brie Bella, and she will connect, and it will make that Fastlane moment mean that much more. It probably will outshine the main event.
You really think so?
I think if it is done right and booked right, what's the crowd going to care about more? Something that they feel is coming, but it's really feel good. It's something that they can get behind, especially if they have the Yes Man in her corner, as opposed to a main event that we see, that we know what's coming. We know how that's going to end.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. If the crowd, if you have Daniel Bryan there, which would be the most brilliant thing in the world to have, is because then you have that guy that is already over with the crowd. I think that moment stands out more than a Roman Reigns standing tall. Because we've seen a lot of that. And let's be honest, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that you'd want to go out and have drinks with.
No.
So I think that is why.
And then we'll hear that.
Just kind of happens. I think that. I'm going to let it play. I look at it and I go, I take a real person with a real situation that's going to have real emotions as opposed to a guy that we've seen coming for the last 4 or 5 months. 4 or 5 weeks, sorry.
I couldn't say it any better. I think there's a few more things in Fastlane I'd like to talk about. But Joel, you hit it right in the head. And I didn't think you would put Brie over so much, so I appreciate that. But I guess the one thing I appreciate from you, Joel, is when you see something good, no matter what your feelings are on the character previously, you will put it over.
I try to be honest on this stuff. Like, because I can't sit there and tell you that, like, is Brie Bella going to be remembered for generation after generation? She might be remembered as Daniel Bryan's wife, but in the grand scheme of things, she's going to be a very small figure.
I will say this, and this is maybe controversial, and we've talked far too much about Brie, I apologize. I think when it's all said and done, the Bellas as a whole are a top 10 diva tandem entity of all time.
Yeah, I think that they're a top 10. I don't think that they're going to be, in the grand scheme of the whole wrestling universe, over the whole lore, they're not going to be a center key figure that you're going to be like, Shawn Michaels, the Brie Bella.
No, I'm saying when you think of divas, though, you're going to go the Trishes, the Litas, the Sasha Banks, Bayleys, Charlottes. And I think they're around, like, after some of those. I think they're ahead of a Tori Wilson and a Stacey Keibler.
Yep, they definitely have made a bigger impact than...
I mean, and as far as impact, I'm going to get slammed by this comment, Joel. So I think they're ahead of a Mickie James.
That's an interesting one. That's definitely something to take a look.
I think that Mickie James is a better performer in ring. I'm just saying from being remembered, they've had more memorable moments within the company.
Thinking about this Brie Bella angle, like I do agree that the Bellas have played an instrumental role over the last couple of years, and that's the way WWE's had it. You know what's going to happen? There's two things that are going to happen at Fastlane. We're going to get this shining moment, or Charlotte's going to look like an even bigger heel.
Yes.
And Brian's going to... And maybe this is the end of Brie Bella. Maybe this is one and done.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're just playing it up really well. She has a whole bunch of her own companies in Arizona. She has constantly said, at least on Total Divas, whether that's a work or not, I do think that she is sincere. Brian already hinted at it, that they want to start a family.
Yes. Yes, yes.
But we've talked about enough about that. Let's move on. Two more injuries and then something way worse than an injury in a way. First, I don't think we need to talk too much about this one. Finn Balor hurt his ankle. We were supposed to get some results on Monday. We didn't get anything. Do you have anything any latest news on Finn Balor?
No, he's been hopping around. Bailey cheered him up.
That was really cool. So I highly suggest you check that on YouTube, everybody.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but I don't think this is full panic mode because there's enough time for him to heal.
Everything's been taped.
Yeah, so
he just doesn't do house shows. That's it. And it's 2 months. He has 2 months.
Yeah, I think he's going to be healed and he's going to be ready for NXT takeover Dallas, which right now that card looks like it could outshine WrestleMania in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, you have Finn and Joe. It's funny too because this is really going past the spoiler talk now. It's pretty much like everybody knows what the card is now.
Yeah.
But you have Asuka and Bayley, which is going to be great. You're going to have Sammy and Nakamura, which is going to be freaking stupidly phenomenal. You're going to have Joe and Finn. You're going to have American Alpha go for the tag team titles. Those are the big four, right?
Yep.
So I think it's lining up to be a doozy.
I totally agree with you. And you kind of sit there and you see it and you're like, Finn's got enough time to heal up. The injury's not great because that does affect house shows. But if you're going to have schnicks where, like, they seem to have a lot of fun on NXT.
They do.
These house shows. So I think the fans are getting their money's worth regardless. And Finn's going to go out there and have some fun. So I'm not too panicky.
And they have a guy like Austin Aries he just signed. He can maybe fill some of the spots, you know? Yeah.
And that's one thing. And once Shinsuke's been medically cleared, there's still that. And there's talks of, well, what does WWE do if he's not medically cleared?
Oh.
And one of the things was he does the NXT Dallas show, Sammy goes over, and then he goes back to Japan. It's really that simple.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I've had an ankle injury from what they've said, similar to Finn, so I can kind of relate. Yeah, you can't really put pressure down on it, obviously. But it's really just stay off it, let it heal type of thing.
Yeah.
Mine was with a basketball injury. And running up and down the court, I'm obviously not doing a coup de grace type of move.
That needs to stop.
You and I have always been saying we don't like that move in the first place.
It seems like a risky move on both the giver and the receiver.
Yeah.
And I mean, Finn's no slouch in the ring. I don't think he's going to really land on someone really hard.
No, I never liked it when Kenshi used it.
Yeah. So I think get rid of that move. You can go to your Bloody Sunday DDT. I'm perfectly okay with that. That move does have its own risk, but I feel a lot better than you landing on your ankles that way because it's so easy. One wrong twist of the leg and you're Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Other injury, the other Irishman in the WWE, Sheamus has a little bit of a cast on, but that's nothing serious as well, Joel, right? That's going to heal up pretty fast here as well.
Yeah, Sheamus will be fine.
I think that was just to be cautious.
Yeah, and to tie it all into a nice little bow from the start of this podcast, it seems like Sheamus was one of the last guys to wrestle Daniel Bryan.
Was he the very last one?
It was a tag team match.
Because everyone said it was Luke Harper.
I'd heard Sheamus, but... It's kind of hard to keep track of when Brian.
I think maybe that was just the last match I remember watching was him versus Harper in a SmackDown.
Yeah, it was definitely a SmackDown that Brian's last match took place, but I think it was against Sheamus. I think He got busted open, and then Wade Barrett hit him with a bull hammer to really solidify it, and then Sheamus won via countout.
It makes sense if it's Sheamus. Those two are kind of tied together internally, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like Batman and the Joker, just always going to be tied together one way or another.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks like Sheamus is going to be okay, yeah. So that's good. And then the final piece of the roster getting hurt, going back to Daniel Bryan in a little bit. At the end of his celebration, you see Vince McMahon get pulled and kind of a shuffle go on. I had talked to Joel about this. We didn't really think anything really of it. We're just like, that's a little weird. You had told me Vince likes when guys mess around with him.
Yeah.
So that's why you kind of didn't put too much into it. I was like, I don't know. Like, it looked like Vince was pretty angry about it, but they ended up putting it back up on Tuesday, but cutting that part off.
Yeah.
And now we find out today that Titus O'Neil has been suspended for 90 days.
And will miss WrestleMania. I've heard that this is Vince. Like, I've heard that there's been a lot. Vince doesn't feel like the guys are showing the company in the best light. Like, he doesn't feel that things are being as positive. They're not being as professional as they should be. And Titus was just the scapegoat.
I think I mentioned this to you a long time ago. The locker room is different now, and Jericho has mentioned this.
Yep.
It's, God damn it, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Vince. The millennials! In a way, right, is that millennial attitude.
Yeah.
The free-carrying, Vine, video game playing in the back of the locker room type of attitude, where everybody kind of gets along, right? No one's worried about their spot getting taken. People like Fandango aren't going to get mad. He's just happy getting a paycheck. And I've heard that that's kind of, like, pissed some people in the back off, that some people are a little bit more hungrier.
Here's the thing with that, and with the Titus thing is, you got to have that hunger. You got to have that drive. You got to have that John Cena drive. But I think the locker room's a lot healthier.
Yeah.
Looking over your shoulder all the time is just not a good mentality. That's what creates a Daniel Bryan situation where guys push themselves well past their limit, risk life and limb night in and night out to put on a show so that they keep their spot. I think you don't want to breed that your spot could slip away unless you're willing to kill yourself in the ring, basically.
Yeah.
I think you need to take a step back. Like, there's certain... Like, I've always said, when it comes to work, you got to have that balance of having fun, but also having that professionalism that carries you forward. And I think Vince is trying to get back that professionalism. And it's a shame that Titus suffered this. Batista had an interesting tweet about this.
Shoot.
Apparently, someone had tweeted Batista to try to get Batista to give them a call to straighten this all out.
Oh, because Titus is really good friends with him.
Yeah, and Titus said, I did one better. I called Titus and told him to ask for his release.
Yeah?
So, you those feelings on Batista and good feelings towards WWE.
We've been saying this, though. We've been saying this. I think a lot of people think, oh, it's a storyline. He didn't get the title shot. That's cute. No, Batista's actually really pissed off about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's legitly pissed off about that.
He was brought in, and I think it wasn't only that, but I think just the creative wasn't exactly the smartest, and that bugged him as well.
No, he knew he should come in as a heel, and he liked being a heel, because when he had that last feud with Cena, he knew he killed it.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good feud.
And when he came, and then, like... Just at the end, he started getting into the character because it was a heel again.
Yeah.
You know, and they blew it originally, too, because they had him promoted. It should have been the big surprise. That's how he would have got the pop.
Yeah.
Instead, like, can you imagine? Quick scenario here. So, the Royal Rumble thing happens, right?
Yeah.
There's no Bryan. Number 30 isn't Rey Mysterio. It's Dave Bautista, and nobody knows.
I think there's a pop, but I think that crowd was so hungry for the bearded man that...
I think people forget about it a little bit, though, because that surprise takes people out of it for a little bit.
I definitely think it does, but I don't think it repairs everything. Like, Bryan was going to be in that main event of WrestleMania 30, come hell or high water.
Yeah, well, we don't know. I'm just saying, like, what if Domino's... you know, we have a podcast, another podcast to tease. Geez, we're teasing all these coming up podcasts called What If. Here's the ultimate really quick what if. A few dominoes here. What if that happens with Batista? What if the Fiend doesn't get leaked? He's a surprise entrant. And let's say he comes at number 30. What if CM Punk doesn't leave the next night? So well,
Punk's still going to leave because Batista's there.
I'm saying he doesn't leave. He decides he never leaves. He talks to Vince and Vince talks him to staying. CM Punk is still with the company. That's not, that's, there's nothing to change about it. He stays with the company.
Yeah.
So then Batista faces Randy Orton. Punk faces Triple H. Brian faces Sheamus.
I still think the crowd was still very much the.
I don't think so, man.
I don't know. Like, it just to me, just based on what happened over that time.
Because I think if you have that surprise, there's still going to be the chance and everything. I think maybe at, like, a fast lane, then maybe he gets a shot at Batista. But I don't think he gets the WrestleMania moment. I think there's absolutely no chance if the dominoes fall that way. Yeah. And luckily for him, the dominoes fell right. Batista wasn't a surprise. That got spoiled. People didn't like how he was presented. CM Punk quit the next night. And everything kind of fell into place. And that's, you never know. Like, it's like the butterfly effect, right?
Yeah, you don't know.
And the butterflies just went the right way, and we got one of the best WrestleMania moments of all time.
Yep.
But as for Titus, it's unfortunate, but in a way, it was kind of a dumb move. Why would you grab your boss that you know is a crazy person? Like, why would you do that?
I pitched you the idea of him and Teddy Hart locked in a room for an hour, and the more I think about it, the more you pitch an idea like that, and then you go and mess around with him on live TV. It was probably emotional for Vince because that's he's seeing dollar signs walk away from him.
Yeah, and he looked like I said in the Brian podcast that he looked genuinely emotional about it and very sad and torn up about it.
Yeah, because as much as Vince is, should be given a straitjacket at times, he's definitely. It's still one of the guys. Still one of the guys under your supervision.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big thing. And I think it was just the wrong time and wrong place. And I'd even heard rumors that Titus was upset that Vince didn't run his stuff that he did with the Seahawks.
I had heard that because that was ran all day on YouTube. It was a big thing. And he was with D-Von and he was pretty pissed off about it, apparently.
Yeah, so we don't fully know.
I haven't been able to see it, but some people said when Brian's coming up the ramp, you can kind of see them bickering at each other.
It might be something to go back and try to track down.
If I were Titus, I mean, what would you do? Would you ask for your release or just kind of suck it? I mean, the one thing I do feel bad for Titus, I don't feel sorry for him because I think you know he did a dumb move. He touched his boss.
Yeah,
like that, like aggressively. And he thinks he's just joking around, but you don't touch your boss in any circumstances. If I did that to my boss, grabbed his arm like that, I would not expect a good result.
No. If I was Titus, I'd write it out because he is the number one charity guy with Cena out.
Yeah.
You've been given that spot, and that's a really good spot to have. So I wouldn't necessarily throw it away, but Titus gets his release. What happens? Where does he go from there?
It doesn't really. This is the most we've ever talked about Titus O'Neil on here. And we can barely even talk about him. We've transitioned to Batista and Teddy Hart. Like, it's hard to really talk about Titus because that's how much of a dent he's made to us as fans.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's probably made a bigger dent within these charity organizations, but facts are facts. Our opinion is it's kind of meh. I don't think it's a big blow. I don't think WrestleMania needs to be rewritten now.
No, I don't think it matters at all. In fact, I think maybe this opens the shot for Tyler Breeze, which I welcome.
Yeah, this opens the door for someone else to step in and become very relevant.
Yep.
Become like Titus had not lost until he lost to Adam Rose on Monday.
Really?
Yeah, he'd been winning all his matches. He'd been on a roll. No one had really talked about it. And then,
that's kind of funny he lost to Adam Rose because you think there'd be some kind of redemption on there to build Titus up as some power force kind of thing.
Yeah.
He probably has something against a social outcast, you'd have to think.
Yeah, and now it's all bye-bye.
Well, you mentioned
my question. A quick question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think him dropping out to Adam Rose was punishment, or was this growing?
What would the punishment be? Because the act hadn't happened yet.
Yeah. Do you think that they made him drop out because they want, because he'd vocalized that he was unhappy about the
Seahawks thing?
Yeah.
No, I think it was part of a storyline. I think he was going to have something bigger with the Social Outcasts.
At WrestleMania, where he beats all four of them?
In the Andre Battle Royal, yeah, sure.
Throw him over the rope. Yeah, no, I was just curious because it did kind of stick. It did stick out a little bit. Titus losing, and I was like, "Oh, Titus lost."
I'm be honest, it didn't really stick out to me.
I was kind of like, "Oh, this is kind of," especially when I was like, "Oh, the Social Outcasts are back to that Ziggler."
All Titus O'Neil is to me is Ahmed Johnson 0.3. 0.2 is Ezekiel Jackson. He's 0.3.
Yeah, they keep trying.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap up the
time. All right, so we'll get some other rumors in a bit here. Let's get to the shows.
Yep.
So injury report done, and please let us not lead off with injury reports anymore. Alberto Del Rio looks fine, by the way, and we'll talk about that with Raw. So Monday Night Raw, I think there's only one or two things to really talk about. To me, the biggest thing other than Brian was the Dudley's turning.
The Dudley's turning and the Dean and Brock spot.
And Kevin Owens losing again.
They really like to tear these guys up and build them back up.
Okay, let's go into KO first. It's identical to what they did to Shelton and MVP.
Yeah. I do think Kevin Owens rebounds better.
Of course, you see it clearly what they're doing because this is what they do, and I hate it. It makes no sense for this character. He's a prize fighter. How many freaking weeks do I have to come on and say that this guy is a prize fighter? He kicks people's asses, and he's getting jobbed out over and over. I think Dolph going to the ropes helps a little bit, and if that's a sign that maybe Dolph is turning heel, holla fucking Yulia.
Well, it's time. I think we are in a big transition period right now, and if certain guys need to turn heel.
Yeah, Dolph does, because Dolph is a douchebag.
Yeah.
No one likes guys like Dolph or Zack Ryder or Mojo Riley. They're douchebags. People hate those kind of guys in real life for the majority. Only people like douchebags are other douchebags.
Like, I think it's time. It's totally time to. I totally agree with you, and it's time to turn Ziggler heel. I think Owens is better a heel, so don't turn him. But
no.
I think it's going to grow. It's going to escalate more and more.
Yeah. I picture the KO is going to win at Fastlane, but I don't know. And he's still a little Teflon Joel for some reason.
Yeah.
But it's wearing thin really quickly, especially with losing to Kalisto last week and now this loss. And I can't remember the last time Kevin Owens won a match. Because he lost to Dean at the pay-per-view as well. It's been a while since I remember him winning a match. And, you know, I've heard some people say, well, this is what Seth Rollins went through when he was champion. I guess, but it sucks to see this guy.
Kevin
He's
Owens
supposed to be your beast.
Kevin Owens does not have the world title to kind of shield him.
No, and he's supposed to be a beast. He's supposed to be a guy that just destroys people.
Yeah.
And that's why he was booked so great in NXT. Like, only matches he really lost in NXT was to Finn.
Yeah.
That was about it. Everybody else that got in his way destroyed them.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what Kevin Owens' program heading into WrestleMania is. It's very interesting to see where Kevin Owens goes from here, but I totally agree with you. This Kevin Owens comes out, I'm always now a little hesitant, like, please don't lose, please don't lose, please don't lose. He's going to lose to Sin Cara next, watch.
Well, is he though? I wonder, I think the weird thing is, it seems like the Lucha Dragons are back together. So I think that Del Rio is going to win the title of Fastlane.
That seems like... I have my doubts, but we'll wait and see.
The U.S. title just seems so wasted right now.
Yeah.
After all the goodwill Cena over the last past year, Cena did, it's back to being blah. And you know what also pisses me off as he translates to Dean? They never say Intercontinental Dean Ambrose. They just say Dean Ambrose. They never mention he's Intercontinental Champion. They never say anything about the title. It's very frustrating.
These Intercontinental titles are just kind of there.
Yeah, like, if you're not going to say he's Intercontinental Champion, then give it to somebody else that could use it. It should be a big deal that the IC Champion is in the match. He can win both titles. That hasn't been done since the Ultimate Warrior.
Triple H, actually.
No, he never had both. He had... Austin had the world title. He had the IC title when they were the powers or whatever.
Wasn't there, like, going...
Oh, when he unified it. Yeah, but actually, yeah, I guess. But Ultimate Warrior was, like, the last person to hold him for an extended amount of time.
Okay. Because
Triple H was in a unification match with Kane.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was...
Yeah.
Man, that was...
He never technically held it.
Okay. That was a while ago. Jeez.
Yeah.
Back on track. Yeah, the transitioning to Dean, how human does Brock Lesnar look?
I thought he looked great this week.
I think that it's that build. I think there's a part of me that goes, this is building back up, but now I kind of see Brock as immortal now.
I don't like that he just comes down in a low blow.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that Dean is so desperate to get anything in, and that even Brock has that as a weakness, I suppose.
Yeah.
I the thing I don't like is, so Ambrose is supposed to be this lunatic, right? He's supposed to be crazy, and I like the idea. I thought they did a great job with Ambrose this week. I thought his mic work was really good. In fact, if we picked an MVP this week that's not Daniel Bryan, it's Dean Ambrose, because he kicked ass in the microphone. He kicked ass taking that beating. Facials were good. Everything Dean Ambrose did was perfect. And then here comes Roman Reigns to save the freaking day.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Like, if you guys are best pals and you see your buddy get an F5 for the second time,
yeah,
wouldn't it make more sense for you to come running down and get to brawl with Brock?
As soon as that F5 is up on his shoulders, you would run down.
Yeah. Even before then, you'd be running down because you'd be thinking, uh-oh, my buddy's in trouble. But apparently, Roman doesn't care about Dean and kind of lets him get beat up a little bit. Then slowly strolls down to the ring.
I thought there'd be more about the two on SmackDown, and I was actually surprised that neither were on SmackDown.
They had a skeleton crew for SmackDown because a bunch of guys were heading over to Germany, and that was Dean and Roman. So,
I thought SmackDown still was an awesome show this week.
Oh yeah, there was a phenomenal match.
Oh yeah, we'll get to it.
But you know, I don't think we've hit enough on the main event for Fastlane. What are your thoughts on this triple threat?
I like two of the opponents very much. I think out of all three right now, Dean has performed the best.
Yeah.
For sure. I told you what my thoughts were with Roman last week. I just think that Roman's just like, hey, I'm Roman Reigns. I'm cool, man. I'm cool. It's okay that I lost my world title. I'll get it back. Believe. Roman Empire. Yeah. He doesn't really seem to have any attitude. He laughs everything off. Like, how am I supposed as a fan? And yeah, I've said, like, the kids like him, and that's great. They don't know any better. How am I supposed to identify with this guy? He doesn't care. Like, this guy's lost his title twice to the Authority. But I have no sympathy for him at all. Because he doesn't show any sympathy. He's just like, oh, man, I'll get it. It's cool.
When Brian lost, because I feel like at least this will be the last week where Brian can tie into a lot of things. Like, when Brian lost the title, when Hunter screwed him, pedigreed, Orton comes in, slithering in, and pins. And you see at the end of SummerSlam, him sitting there doing the no, and him mad, and you can see it, and you can feel it. Then you're like, well, this guy's upset. He just got screwed.
Yeah.
With Roman, it's just kind of like, I'll get it back. And
Cena kind of did this too, in all fairness.
Yeah.
For the world title. A few times Cena did this, is like, oh, it's okay, I'll get a rematch. And that shouldn't be what you have.
You should be hungry for that title. You should want it. You should need it.
Yeah.
Damn millennials.
God damn it. I thought, and like with Brock, I don't know. I think, you know, you and I at this time last year was like, I want to mine an extra date or two from Brock, and I wonder if they've diluted him down a little bit.
Well, I think he goes away after WrestleMania.
I hope he goes away till SummerSlam.
I think he takes a little bit of time off. They can't afford to keep paying through the nose for him, so I think he takes a little bit of time off.
It's interesting he's on SmackDown next week.
Yeah. I think you got to pop the SmackDown rating, so.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm excited. I think the match itself will be phenomenal. I think it'll be great.
Oh, yeah, especially because you get Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, which is the kind of a dream match. And, you know, we've said this about Roman. I don't like his attitude towards anything. I think he's really shitty in that aspect. But the dude is not a terrible wrestler.
Nope.
He can actually have good matches, and he had a good match with the Big Show. He's had good matches on his own. So I give him credit for that. Is he an AJ Styles, Austin Aries? No. But he, when he gets in the ring, he can pull at least a 3, and at best a 4-star match out of himself.
Yeah. And I think it's just when it's just the right circumstances, the right booking. Very interesting to see how the main event plays out in Fastlane, because that's something that now we finally got the Daniel Bryan story is done. That's all. Yep. After this week, it's finished, and we can all slowly move on. Some will take a little bit longer than others. I know. Believe me.
Yeah.
But we can move on, and I think the biggest thing now is, okay, the main event at Fastlane. How is that going to play out? Because that's the main event of WrestleMania.
I know. I want to book it. Wyatt's come out, destroy Brock, and being on SmackDown tonight. They talked about destroying Titans. So that was pretty obvious. I give it, and so I have the Wyatts come out, they destroy Brock, Roman's occupied, dirty deeds, and I give the title to Ambrose, and I have a triple threat with the three of them.
Yeah, I would want Dean in the main event as well.
And then I kind of have Dean turn on him at WrestleMania as well.
Yeah.
And you continue to build it up for Roman even more so. Because now his best friend turned against him, and now he's even angrier, like, you turn my best friend against me. You turn my brother Seth Rollins against me. And you build it up, and you build it up, and he can't beat Dean Ambrose. He can't beat him. And one day, there's some kind of match, and he needs some help. And guess who comes out to help? Roman Reigns.
Seth Rollins. I think with in regards to that, I think Dean needs to be in the main event. Because I think if you carry the Jericho-Styles feud to WrestleMania, I'm perfectly okay with that. Brock will be. I've heard reports that they do not want the They do not want the Undertaker in a singles match at WrestleMania.
No, I've heard it's Brock and Taker versus the Wyatts now.
That's how I feel on that. But looking forward, I want Dean in the main event. Dean's someone you can get behind. You can kind of when he cuts a promo and he's good talker on the mic.
It reminded me of Austin. You know, it's. It's weird. You and I hadn't talked as positively about Dean in a long time. He kind of, weirdly enough, kind of disappeared a little bit from me.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, yeah, this is what Dean Ambrose does. And he kind of woke me up the other day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right, Dean Ambrose is really good. I forgot. You're really good. And that promo woke me up. It's like, yeah, I forgot. Dean Ambrose is awesome.
I think Dean is fantastic. I think we've seen that house shows he gets a positive reaction.
Yes, he was awesome at the house show we went to.
And I think the more and more you see Dean, I think it's like we've always said, WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 10 is the prime example. The cream always rises to the top. No matter who you put in the way, the best will always shine through. And Dean is in a main event situation. And Dean is going to shine at Fastlane. And I would not be surprised if they had some big match at WrestleMania. Because what else do you do with Dean? Do you throw him in some sort of ladder match? No.
I mean, Jericho.
Jericho's the only other thing. Dean has to win that.
Mm.
But now you got to build that. You got what?
Does Dean have to win it? Or does Jericho get number 10? Because they like, you know how they like the round numbers.
Yeah, and that's true too. Where you gotta have, Jericho gets the win, and then Dean needs pay-per-view wins. Dean just needs wins.
I would be fine if they still sneak Dean into the triple threat. I don't like back-to-back triple threat matches in a way, but I don't mind is, let's say that Roman, that Bray's getting Brock's getting his ass kicked by the Wyatts, and Dean gets screwed over. He's not paying attention, spear, and he's like, how could you take advantage of me like that? And he turns against Roman, and he buys his way into the match with Triple H and Roman. And there's some kind of match where the IC title is up on the line against Jericho just on a Raw. And Roman screws him out of that. And then you could have AJ and Jericho for the title at WrestleMania. And then you can have the scenario which I talked about where
Shinshuk.
AJ wins it, and then the next night on Raw, that feud for the Intercontinental title like they did in Japan.
Oh, amazing. Amazing, yeah. It would be great. And it gives, I think Dean needs to be in the main event because it gives him something. It adds that storyline. It drives him forward. It gives you more than just...
Well, who's the crowd going to cheer for, Joel?
It's going to be Hunter.
It's Triple H versus Roman Reigns, and the crowd is going to go for Triple H. And 2 weeks, on the next Sunday, you have Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose against Roman Reigns. There's no chance Roman's getting cheered because the kids like Dean Ambrose more than they like Roman Reigns.
Yeah, Dean's this crazy guy that is just flying around the ring. And, you know, you asked me in the Brian podcast who to be concerned with concussions. Dean Ambrose is a name that should be
thrown. Yes.
But right now you get to enjoy Dean Ambrose wrestling at full tilt, and I think you need to capitalize it on now. One thing with Daniel Bryan that now more than ever is you got to hit when the iron's hot with these guys because you just never know. They missed out on 30, they missed out on money with Bryan.
Yeah.
You can't do the same with Dean Ambrose. And I think there's a lot of money in Dean Ambrose, and I think there's a lot of fun feuds, and you can have these different matches. It's time where, you know, Dean was a big talking point from Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Roman just kind of was there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what it is with Roman. It's a constant struggle every week. And, I mean, he gets the title and then he's a 3-time champion and it's just like,
He's 13 away from Ric Flair.
I mean, if Roman wins, I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah, and it's story, where it's going to go.
We've said it constantly. We don't like the story, but I get it. It's you're booking the way you're supposed to book things.
Yeah,
it's just that you're booking the guy that nobody wants. But I get it, and I'm fine with him winning at WrestleMania over Triple H because that's good storytelling. You have this guy that constantly got screwed over, constantly gets his chance. The big bad boss came along, took it away from him, and then that's his redemption at WrestleMania, and then maybe he starts feuding with Dean from there. I think him, sooner or later, him or Dean are feuding this year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's one of the feuds this year, so get ready.
Yeah, let's move on, because we're already at 45 minutes, Joel. We have so much to hit on. We may have to make this a two-parter.
I think we can... We hit on the big things first, so...
Here's another big thing. The Dudleys have turned. Which, thank God, Bubba Ray Dudley, as a heel on the microphone, is finally in WWE.
Yep. And I think this ties into both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, we can cross over stuff now.
Yeah. It blends in. It's nice. Bubba was good on the mic on SmackDown. Bring up Bryan and bring up a few things. And basically taking away the tables. It's just like what Jericho did when he turned heel. That was the first thing I thought of. Jericho took away all the things people liked. And they booed him. The Dudleys are taking away the one thing people liked about the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Get the tables.
And I think it's building to that match that we have been suspecting for a long time. TLC, whatever, at WrestleMania. Usos, New Day, Dudleys. Maybe Lucha.
Yeah. And that's probably why you'll get Kalisto to drop the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, good. I think there's a lot of potential. I do think Bubba breaks off and has a small singles run at one point. Yes. But even if he doesn't, then we still get a heel Bubba Ray Dudley in WWE.
Yeah, which is what we've been wanting.
Yeah. It adds a new dynamic to the tag team division. It revitalizes it in a way. It doesn't provide a new opponent for the New Day,
no.
But it does create some new opponents, some new battles.
Also, there have been some rumors on Monday that Cass and Enzo were supposed to come on Raw. Have you heard anything about what happened?
They did a dark match for SmackDown.
Yeah.
So I think they're close. I think maybe that's where the Dudleys go. That's not a bad thing. Enzo and Cass. And if you're going to have the Dudleys constantly job,
yeah,
why not have them put over SAWFT?
You know what's crazy is I did two podcasts this week for Fresh Take for the NBA and for Sneaker Expo in Calgary and talked a little bit to them about WWE afterwards about their thoughts on Daniel Bryan. And I asked who they're the most excited for, and two guys they brought up were Enzo and Cass.
Yep. Enzo connects with the audience. He's a little guy.
I'm happy with the Dudley turn. I'm excited for it, and I think it's – I hope there's no match at Fastlane at Triple Threat. I don't know what the match would be at Fastlane. I know the New Day has to fight. What do you think it's going to be at Fastlane? Do you think it just be a Triple Threat?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a Triple Threat to establish that the next match will be a tables, ladders, and chairs match. That's what they need to establish.
All right, let's move on to SmackDown. And you know what? Really quickly here, before we go to SmackDown, NXT, there really was nothing.
Yeah. I think the one thing that hurts NXT is we know so far in advance how everything's going to play out. There's no genuine surprises anymore.
No, but like this week, Bayley versus Carmella, she did her best to make Carmella look decent. Alexa Bliss looked good. It was really about the women this week.
Yep.
Eva Marie looked good as a heel. Nia Jax, I'm sorry, I can't buy her.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be someone that we're going to be...
The suit is terrible.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah, and I just don't think she has that tangible quality that a lot of these... And to be fair to her, she's up a hill already because she's battling personalities like Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky.
Eva. Eva's really good at being a heel.
Eva, you have all these... Asuka has all these great...
You did it! You did it! You corrected yourself!
I know. Yay!
Yes.
It has all these great personalities that people are getting behind, and you kind of start to feel that squeeze, that it's harder to climb up when you have so many people ahead of you. So I think that hurts her, and I think that it's just been the way... Like, there's nothing with her that is extremely special.
No.
But we could be wrong. She could come up to the main roster and absolutely tear it up.
But she could. She has the Samoan blood in her, so we'll see. By the way, did you know The Rock is really not Roman Reigns' cousin?
Yeah.
It was a blood oath between Peter Maivia and their family, whatever Rikishi Roman's family is.
Yeah. So the only way to get Roman over is to have his pretend cousin try to get him over.
Yeah. They even kind of stopped it with Edge and Christian, hey? They kind of just like, oh, these guys are best friends. They're not brothers.
Yeah. It's smart to kind of not try. Like, it's fun introduction, and then it just fade off.
All right, SmackDown.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, Chris Jericho. Wow. Number two, better than number one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. More time. I'm not going to talk about the silly tag match, except, first of all, the Jericho promo. Oh, he's getting back in the zone, Joel.
He's starting to zero in, and he zeroes in when he's a heel, so.
When he said, I'm the best in the world of what I do, I'm like, uh-oh, are we getting heel Chris Jericho?
Oh, we're getting heel Chris Jericho, and AJ, you know what? To Vince's credit, AJ's done a very good job, and AJ Styles... He's a pit bull. It's perfect for him.
Yeah.
It's that rabid dog that just kind of keeps going after you. They used the pit bull to describe Daniel Bryan. And I think when you'd said in the previous pod that you can check out on iTunes and We Talk Podcast, you said that AJ was taking the baton from Daniel Bryan, and I'm starting to kind of buy that more and more.
I think so too. What did you think about him losing?
Here's the thing. He lost to a former World Heavyweight Champion, a 9-time Intercontinental Champion, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy that beat Stone Cold and The Rock in the same night.
A guy that kind of cheated.
Yeah.
He pushed him off the ropes and gave him a code breaker. I think I've seen so many people online tonight like, I can't believe they made him lose. Like, This is what a feud is. This is what Dolph and Kevin Owens should be. He lost, but he lost in a bullshit way with some heel tendencies, and now he gets to come back at the pay-per-view, get that win back.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the other thing that you got to think about.
AJ wasn't going undefeated, everybody. He was not going to go undefeated in his entire WWE run.
He wasn't going to do a Goldberg run?
No, he wasn't. Sorry, Joel.
I think it's good. It furthers the storyline. It helps build things. Jericho got the best of AJ all of SmackDown. And I think that was a big thing, was like AJ got the win for the tag team. Jericho got the Codebreaker, and Jericho got the win. AJ didn't tap out. That reversal from the Calf Crusher to Walls of Jericho, or
by the way, the name is originally the Calf Killer.
Yeah,
Vince doesn't like having those kind of names around anyone. He changed it to the Calf Crusher.
I don't blame him. I'm sorry.
People have complained about it. I'm like, I don't blame Vince. It's an easy change. Who really cares?
Yeah, the move is still going to be the same, and it's still going to have that same impact. So.
Yeah, to me, Crush. It just sounds better than Killer to me.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't really want, like, the next name they need to change is Drive-By. But
that's pretty bad.
That's neither here nor there. I thought, all in all, AJ and Jericho really shined bright, were the MVPs of SmackDown. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, and the feud's just going to keep growing bigger and bigger, and just have them wrestle at WrestleMania. I'm perfectly okay with that. AJ Styles will be at WrestleMania this year, Josh.
Yes, he will be.
Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania.
You really see why Chris Jericho came back now, and I think it took a little bit. But Jericho started. I today was like, wow, this is the best Jericho's looked like in a while. He's starting to get back in form.
And it does take some time, especially when you're away and your mind's somewhere else. It takes a little bit to kind of get back into the groove of things. But he's getting back into the groove, and boy, oh boy, is it going to be a lot of fun.
I think with Chris, it's much like any other performer. It's you need to be able to sink your teeth into something that you're really buy into. And he'll probably never admit this himself, but he never really seemed to be into the Bray Wyatt feud.
Yeah.
And this, I can tell he knows that this is a big match for himself. This is probably somebody he's always wanted to face. And AJ just is a better wrestler and performer than Bray, and the two are bringing out what we thought they would have. The first one, too, is a little sloppy. They're trying to figure each other out, and this one is like, okay, we kind of know each other now. We're kind of bonded into what we can do, and now they're figuring each other out, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, and it's just going to keep growing. So let's keep the good times rolling.
AJ cut a promo, first one.
What'd you think, Josh?
It was an AJ Styles promo.
Yeah, and AJ Styles, bro, you know, I've always said that let him talk every once in a while when you need it, but let him wrestle. The actions speak louder than words.
He does need to work on a little bit. I had a brief moment that he was in TNA for a second, to be honest.
Oh, God.
But I thought he did a good job. He kind of said, like, I don't care if people call me a redneck. I'm not a rookie. He said everything in the promo that he needed to say.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things, was he was speaking from the heart of the internet.
Yeah.
So, it's good. I'm not complaining at all.
All right. Good from SmackDown. Let's move on to our favorite world, Joel. The world of total nonstop action.
Can the action stop, please? I'm tapping out.
Awesome Khan was fired again for doing stupid things.
Yeah.
First, she beat up Bubba the Love Sponge or talk crap to win her first TNA run. Then she guys got pregnant when she was in WWE. And now she decided to pick on the world champion's wife.
Just seems like when you're looking at, do I want to go through door A or door B? She always picks the wrong door to go through.
Is it Rebby or Rebel?
I don't know.
Whatever. Rebby Sky, Matt Hardy's wife. They were on a tour, and she threw her bags out, treated her like garbage. TNA had enough. She comes off as a bully. She got fired. I've had some people ask, will Karma come to WWE? The answer is...
No. No. No.
I don't really know what else to say to this. I think Awesome Khan, Karma, is a good performer. But they have their version of Karma now, and we talked about her. It's Nia Jax.
Yeah. And I think Karma had her chance, and it just didn't click. In WWE, this isn't a thing that I really cared about. TNA made the right call.
Yeah.
Let her go. No harm, no foul. I can move on from this and not feel anything.
By the way, I've checked a sneak peek of TNA.
Sneak?
Sounds like Kurt Angle will be facing Bobby Lashley pretty soon here. And Matt Hardy, I don't know if you've seen it, but like what they're doing with The Turn and with Red Meat Sky, who is coming off really good, they're going towards a Matt and Jeff feud, which has never really worked in WWE, but he seemed to have the right pieces. Matt's coming out with suits. TNA is making the right steps.
Yep. Slowly but surely, minus their little temper tantrum on AJ Styles, but they're starting to, within the company, with certain guys, they're starting to kind of take the right steps. I don't like having, well, I guess EC3's been in their main event picture for quite a while, so maybe it's a good thing to kind of give them a little bit of a break.
Yeah, well, no, he's a babyface now, too, so.
He could come to the aid of his former mentor in WWE.
He could.
But, you know, EC3's done well for himself. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that still kind of draw me a little bit is this EC3 character.
Yeah.
But Matt Hardy as your World Heavyweight Champion does not appeal to me.
I from what I've heard from people that watch it, it's working. It doesn't. I've always had a soft spot for Matt, and yeah. I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Yeah, TNA's there. If they keep growing and getting better, then obviously we're going to check it out. But it needs to get to a point where I don't feel like I'm wasting brain cells.
No, there's so much stuff we have to watch in a week that, you know, it's just a YouTube clip here and there. And speaking about another company, Lucha Underground, Rey Mysterio, maybe heading back. What do you know about this, Joel?
Well, I don't know a whole lot, but I've heard that there is some money owed, Rey's not happy, and well, if Rey could get a part-time schedule with WWE, he would be back.
This is what happened. So, AAA with Conan thought they were going to have the original Sin Cara, I can't remember his name, so forgive me.
Mystico?
The wrestler that was killed, Pero, Del Rio and Rey together in AAA.
That would have been huge.
And Conan had some kind of deal with Lucha and them, and over the past year, unfortunately, Pero passed away. Del Rio went back to WWE. Mystique, or Mystico, he's not with them anymore. And Conan and Rey are having some problems, apparently. Because apparently Conan had talked Rey into leaving WWE to come to Mexico and promise all this money.
And now the money's not there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard little bits and pieces. I can't put everything together, so forgive me. I'm probably missing a few of this. But the bottom line is that Rey's not happy. He's promoting Lucha Underground. He was on ESPN promoting it.
Wow.
But he lost, I believe, in Lucha Underground in his opening night.
That's not a good thing to do with a certified Hall of Famer that is
Meltzer Hall of Famer.
He is a Meltzer Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's the greatest luchador of all time, of our generation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disregard Mil Máscaras and some and other ones, but as far as our generation, he's the greatest luchador that we've ever seen the past 20 years.
At least the one that made the biggest impact North America-wise.
Yeah, past 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Rey Mysterio. I don't know how much of a draw he can still be, but I mean, there's matches there with AJ. Obviously, they just wrestled in England, but on the big stage, that'd be great. Him and Austin Aries. I'd be interested to see him and Sammy, and him and Neville, and him and Joe. So there's a lot of fresh matches for Rey there.
Yeah, and that's why you have him as a part timer come in.
And Triple H has still never faced Rey Mysterio.
Really?
No.
Hey, why not?
So that's something to keep an eye out for.
It'll be interesting to see. I've always had a soft spot for Rey, so.
Yeah. All right. Anything left in the world of professional wrestling?
Nope. I think we're going to go to some combat sports.
CM Punk. Oh, my God.
So you and me were like, ooh, he announced his fight. We're all good to go. Okay, here we go. Let's see what happens. We hope his back.
So let's build up to first. It was a lot of CM Punks this week. So first of all, he started the week off by walking out of an interview. Fair, because the reporter asked him if he knew wrestling was fake. So fair. He pulled the Cam Newton. So that one we'll give him a pass for. Mickey Gall won the fight. He asked him if he was having fun and enjoying his fight. And when Ariel Helwani came to him, he said, didn't want to talk trash because too many MMA fighters take themselves too serious. And he's just here to have fun.
Pung, you realize that these guys are trying to kill you, right?
You realize Dana White hired you because you talk trash.
He's a very good trash talker. Top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Wednesday, today, well, as we record this, he had back surgery. So I asked you, Joel, did CM Punk know he was going to have surgery and just acted nice to Mickey Gall?
I think so. Like, it's funny because Ryback tweeted at Punk today and asked him.
Oh, no.
He said, what did he say? I got to find this tweet.
Please do.
Okay. Because I saw this and I was like, there's a time to poke and prod, and maybe after what Punk said about Ryback, maybe, you know, I believe in turning the other cheek, but maybe, just maybe, when you get called out and called Mr. Steroid, you kind of got to fire back every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Titus O'Neil's suspension has been reduced.
Oh, two?
So, this was picked up by the New York Post. So, this will... We'll talk about Punk in a second, but yep. I'm going to go through this. The New York Post had picked up the suspending of Titus O'Neil due to unprofessional conduct over him grabbing Vince McMahon in a playful but physical way at the end of the post-Raw Daniel Bryan retirement ceremony. WWE confirmed to the Post that they have changed Titus' suspension from 90 to 60 days.
Still, this is WrestleMania!
Yeah, so it's 60 days, so he gets a month back. He still missed WrestleMania. They've confirmed that this is not a storyline. Responding to allegations online that the suspension had to do with racism, WWE said the suspension.
Come on, shut up.
The suspension of Titus O'Neil has nothing to do with race and everything to do with unprofessional contact.
Yes.
The company also said O'Neil acknowledged the gravity of his mistake in a text message they apparently shared with the Post. Titus wrote, "I feel like shit now, so if you have to let me go, I understand. Stupid mistake." So
I think he should have been suspended for 30, to be honest. I think losing that WrestleMania paycheck is really a kick in the gut.
Yeah.
That's the thing that he's going to be... It doesn't... Like, him missing time sucks. They're independent contractors. But the miss that WrestleMania paycheck is the biggest punch in the gut. That's your bonus. That's your Christmas bonus.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah. That
sucks.
It's huge. But I saw that as I was going. Quickly, another wrestling bit that I forgot to mention. From all indications, it sounded like Bret Hart had surgery today. Vince had tweeted him well wishes today.
Oh, great.
So it seems like today might be the day, but no one has confirmed nor denied.
I saw Natty put some pictures up of the two of them, so I assume that he had.
Yeah. All right.
Kind of funny that Bret Hart and CM Punk had surgery on the same day.
I there was a small part of me like, man, those comparisons between Punk and Brian and Hart and Michaels.
Yeah.
Imagine if in 2 years they reveal that they figured out more with the brain and can help deal with certain things.
That'd be great.
Dr. Shelby posted a video saying goodbye to Daniel Bryan.
Did he?
Yeah.
Let's get back now because I don't want to get off track. I have a question for you though. Did CM Punk know when he was sitting in cage side that he was going to get surgery on Wednesday?
I think he did.
Yes, because there's no way that just on Monday he's like, oh, I need surgery. And that's why I believe he didn't talk shit, because he's like, I'm not going to fight this guy right away, so I'm not going to start shit.
Yeah, so I think that's why he did it. Ryback's tweet to CM Punk was, my bad, it was an accident, I'm dumb as fuck. And then he has a little emoji blowing a kiss.
Huh.
So, the world, you know, there was a point on this podcast where we wouldn't talk about Punk a whole lot. He kind of got away, and we'd all moved on, and he just keeps pulling us back in.
Well, when you jump in the world of mixed martial arts, and you have everybody criticizing you, and then you do this, And some people, the main Punk defenders, which we were, but I feel as we like to consider ourselves wrestling mixed martial art journalists, we have to display the negative things. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work. And Punk had talked to Ariel Helwani today, said he's going to come back stronger and fight the Hunters. Like, how are you going to come back stronger? You've never even done anything yet.
Yeah, and it's a herniated disc in his back, and there are talks that it's from his wrestling days, and specifically it was aggravated when someone couldn't throw him on a table. We don't know who the guy was. So
does he wear stupid black tights?
Maybe.
Does he look like Goldberg?
He definitely breathes fire, so...
Is he a big guy?
They're so intertwined now, those two.
But here's the thing, though. If it hurt him during wrestling these days, how long has Punk been out of the wrestling ring, Joel? 2 years!
And one of the things with his injury was that they had... he tried everything else. He was trying to avoid surgery, and it ultimately came down within these last couple weeks that surgery was the only option.
So what's the ETA, then?
Don't know the ETA, but I can't imagine surgery for herniated discs are going to be able to hit that 200.
No, that's in July.
Yeah, he's going
to
miss it.
Can you Google quickly just how long it takes to recover from a herniated disc surgery? Because that would be, if you had it today, today's about the start of February. But here's the thing, it actually doesn't even matter though, right? Because he'd have to still have his camp.
Yeah, he has to have his camp. He has to. This is his second delay because he had that shoulder thing a while
back.
Yeah, he
did. Yeah, it's because he's old. He's 38 years old. I know Diamond Dallas Page went in the world of wrestling at this age, but you're going in the world of mixed martial arts. And if you're Dana, are you not a little frustrated now?
Yeah, you're not.
Because you found this guy, Mickey Gall, if you're Mickey Gall, you're not a little pissed off too? But especially Dana. Dana found a guy for him, set it up, was either going to put him on 200, or I had heard now 199 for the Chris Rydman and Rockhold fight. But he gets to be at 199, let's just say, and he gets to be the second main draw next to Chris Rydman. And it's gone.
So from what I've read, his reported recovery time is 4 to 6 months.
So
and he hopes to fight by the end of this year.
He's an 8-fight deal.
And he's going to be in his 40s by the time that ends, if he gets to all 8.
So I did an interview with J.D. Lewis. You can find on We Talk Podcast through the Fresh Take Network. And I talked to him a little extensively about CM Punk. And he just said, this is before the back surgery. He even just said, I just don't think he has what it takes to win a fight. And he said, I had heard he's on an 8-fight deal. I don't think he lasts more than 2.
This back injury definitely is a big deal. Not just for us wrestling fans, but for Ultimate Fighting fans, where there's a certain point where we were really hyped for a Punk fight. Now you kind of,
it's lose the luster to me.
What has more luster? Him fighting in UFC or him wrestling one last match?
Him wrestling. Although, I will say, the fight adds intrigue. You want to know if he can do it.
Yeah.
You want to know if this guy that has never had any mixed martial arts training has the ability to jump in the octagon and wrestle. But it's crazy because Kurt had talked to Dana, and Dana said Kurt was too banged up, yet here is Punk, 2 surgeries now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Kurt is his neck.
Yeah.
That's the biggest factor.
But Kurt, I think, would have been actually pretty good.
Kurt would have, I think Kurt, he probably would have been able, if he was 5 years younger, he would have been fantastic.
That's why, who do you and I always say from the WWE that would be the best fighter from there is Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Jack Swagger would be phenomenal. I even brought it up with our friend of the pod, Paul, and he said, yeah, Jack Swagger, I would see being pretty good there with his amateur wrestling background. And Punk has no amateur wrestling. Even Daniel Bryan had trained in a few things beforehand. I was hoping to come on this pod and talk about Mickey Gall versus CM Punk, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about another delay for this Punk fight.
Yeah, and Ryback. Here's the thing. this should not, we should not, we should be talking about the fight. We should not be talking about all these delays and everything. And it's getting frustrating. I can't imagine how frustrated Punk is.
Yeah, no, and I feel bad for Punk because Ariel Helwani has said this too. Punk knows everything. He knows what the words are. He knows, as soon as he announced it today, he knew, he's like, this sucks for me because the criticism is going to come even more onto me now than it ever was.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if it's necessarily fair.
It's not fair, but it is what it is. He should have got the back. He was talking in that cold pod how his back hurt.
Yeah.
That was a year ago plus now. That was like a year and 3 months ago.
Wow. It's been a long...
Yeah. But 2 weeks later after that cold pod, he signed with the UFC.
Yeah, I think all in all, the CM Punk thing situations sucks because we're left kind of sitting here waiting more and more. But I think it's time to keep on plugging away. There's a few more little UFC news to...
Yeah, so GSP. Rumors are bubbling that he would make a UFC 200 return. The question is, number one, I think if he does it, he has to announce soon to get back into camp because this is a guy that hasn't fought in almost 3 years.
Yeah.
2013, November, the Johnny Hendricks fight was the last one, I believe.
Yeah.
In November, yeah. And so there only seems to be two fights for him to me. The one would have been the rematch for Johnny Hendricks, but Johnny Hendricks got destroyed this past week and it's kind of fallen from grace.
Yeah.
So there's one fight left and it's the super fight.
Yeah.
And it's Manny Pacquiao and Floyd all over again. They should have been done a long time ago, but it's still a draw and it's Anderson Silva versus GSP.
Meh. Like, it's going to draw. As long as they don't hug each other for three rounds, then...
The interest is there, and that's the thing. You said it perfectly right there. You said the rounds right. Yeah. Three rounds, because I don't think GSP is doing a five-round fight.
No. Three rounds, let them do their thing. They both can ride off in the sunset after this. I want GSP to win. He's Canadian. I'm going to be behind the Canadian boy, but
yeah.
For the most part, meh.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing. It's another draw to UFC 200 with no Ronda there.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, and UFC 200 also is going to matter because what happens to this Conor fight? You have to hope, like, the thought process is that Conor can lose and it's okay because he's going up a weight class and it doesn't affect him as much.
Yeah.
He just can't be hurt.
No.
Because if this is a Ronda situation, it's going to be really bad.
Oh, yeah. Because you're starting to... Before you had all the star power and you're firing on all cylinders, the UFC's really trailed off.
Yeah, let's talk about another star, Joel. Mr. Bones Jones.
Oh, God. Let's make this very quick.
Yeah, go.
He's an idiot. He got caught without a proper driver's license. And basically, from my understanding, there could be new updates. We'll have to keep an eye on it. But it sounds like if he's found guilty, he's going to jail for the rest of his probation.
Yep.
Because he's an idiot. And yep. I have no sympathy for Joni Bone Jones.
Nope.
And he's an arrogant... Like, this is one of the few times my opinion will shine through and not be, he's an idiot, I have no use for him, he's not a draw, he's an arrogant little puke, deserves to get knocked out in the UFC octagon, and he's so high and mighty, and it's I've got no use for him. I don't feel any sympathy for the guy.
I think he's lost a little bit of his luster, too, his star power.
Yeah, he's lost that, and he's not that big... of it. He's unreliable. It's just like here in Calgary, Johnny Goodrow, Sean Monahan, and Lance Bowman were all healthy scratches. Mm-hmm. And it was because they were drunk.
They showed up to practice drunk. Let's not beat around the bush. They were drunk. No one else wants to report it. They were drunk.
They showed up late. They broke team rules. They paid for it. And now they're being men about it. They're admitting they made a mistake, and they're going to learn and grow from it.
Yep.
John Bones Jones has proven that he has not learned from his mistakes. And I'm sorry, I don't have any use for anyone that can't at least have the respect and decency. Because these men and women put their lives on the line when they step into that octagon. Because one wrong move and you're dead. One wrong punch. One punch that lands just in that right, perfect little spot.
Yep.
And you're dead. You've killed someone. Or someone's killed you. You cannot sit there and be, well, it's there. So, I'm sorry, John Bones Jones. No use for you. If you can't, you got to show some respect. Especially for a sport where you're basically walking in with a loaded gun.
Yeah.
Show some respect. Yep. Grow up. Be an adult. I don't care how much money you've got. There's a lot of people that would kill to be in the spot that you're in. And you're just constantly throwing it away. That's it.
Well said. I can't say it any better. Congratulations. Well said. And it's funny. Like, I think they're kind of like 200 is supposed to be this big show, and I wonder what the star power for it will be. Without a Ronda, that really hurts it. With Chris Weidman on it, that kind of hurts it. And then you got to wonder what happens to Connor. I know I'm sure we're missing a few, but these are. And what Bones Jones does now too, like that's another name that maybe I don't know if they plan to be on it, but that's another name. And I'm just kind of going by the mainstream names that people know.
Yeah.
And CM Punk was one of them as well.
Here's the thing. Remember UFC 100? How big of a deal that was? That had Brock.
Oh my God! Yeah, GSP. That was awesome.
It was huge. 200 will not measure up to that, and they will not do anywhere near the buy rates they did.
I just don't know the dream matches. I think if you had Ronda versus Holmes, that's the match. To me, what's the MMA match you want to see the most?
You want to see the Ronda rematch.
I want to see the Ronda rematch. I think it's Frankie Edgar would take on Connor, which I'm intrigued by that match. But I'm not over the moon hyped about it right now. Like, even though he's probably not going to come back. If I could somehow get a promo war between Chael Sonnen and Connor, I can't say right now if they're in the same weight classes or whatever, but the two of those beaking at each other, that could get me a little hyped up.
Yeah, there's nothing like that right now. I think a GSP-Anderson would be a fun fight, but remember, do either of these have the personality of Floyd Money Mayweather, where people will pay money to see him get his head knocked in?
Connor does.
I mean GSP and Anderson.
Anderson did.
Yeah, Anderson had that a bit, but it's kind of trailed off now. He
ruined that one fight for Dana. Remember when he just danced around and it ruined that fight for Dana?
Oh, yeah. I think that's been so long ago that I think that this whole thing will be... It'll be just nice little send-off for both of them.
Anderson Silva really was what Ronda was.
Yep.
He was the guy. Like, no one beat Anderson Silva. Like, GSP had been beat, and GSP was somewhat the same, but he wasn't as unbeatable as Anderson Silva was. Like, no one could beat Anderson Silva, and then Chris Weidman destroyed that.
Yeah. And I think that affects it. That affects his value.
I had also heard maybe a Robbie Lawler versus GSP.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be bad either. We're going to find out very soon what this UFC 200 card is. It's not going to have CM Punk. There are a lot of moments where UFC is just kind of blip on the radar now. It used to be like spiking with ratings and everyone's into it. And I remember sitting watching fight nights and top 10 knockouts and all this stuff. And now it's not the same what it once was. There's still some really bright spots in there.
Yeah.
But right now, it's there.
And even a small note, a guy, Benson Henderson, who's a decent draw name, he's signed with Bellator. So there's another guy that, you know, he's not over the top, but people know the name Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
And now he's with Bellator. So that's another guy, like a Tito, that's I don't know if Dana would ever re-sign Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood there.
Yeah, but Tito Ortiz is a name.
Yep.
So, yeah. What do we have left? Anything else? Anything broke?
We have hit it all. I'm feeling actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very good... I felt like we did a lot of good things. This is a good podcast.
Yes, it is. And thank you, everyone, for checking us out. Joel, hit him with the plugs. Hit him with your plugs.
I got to do the plugs. All right.
So your plugs, then my plugs. We'll make it easier.
Woo! All right, my plugs.
So nervous.
I know. Just the pressure. It feels like there's...
Spotlight is shining down on you!
On Skype, there's just a picture of you staring at me, and I just feel that pressure. So you can find me on Twitter at JoelJohnsonTV and Instagram. I take pictures every once in a while. I do some videos. There's more to me than just a voice. You can find Stickboy at Stickboy Productions on Facebook, where we'll post videos, pictures, and we'll even hint to future podcasts. There's been a few of those. There was
that we did in this one.
Yeah. And Josh, where can we find you?
You can find me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. But really, you can...
Is there a hole I can jump in?
Yeah, the hotline bling. You can find me on the Twitter, Jawa31. Instagram is also Jawa31. And you can follow me on Snapchat. Some of you have already followed me on there as well, Jawa31. And make sure you follow Fresh Take. A lot of cool stuff this week. It's NBA All-Star Weekend. So if you're into that, we have a whole bunch of NBA All-Star Weekend stuff coming up. Fresh Take 42. On Instagram and on Twitter and Fresh Take Network. Search that on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play and our Facebook. And be sure to follow Sick Boy and Fresh Take for all their endeavors, because tomorrow we will be recording a live reaction to Deadpool. So stay with us for that.
I didn't know this. This is breaking news to me.
It's breaking news. We'll discuss it after the pod.
Sounds good. And you can also, we always got to give love to We Talk Podcast. You can check
absolutely
them out on their website, wetalkpodcast.com. Facebook.
Check out We Talk Comics.
And you can check out We Talk Comics. We Talk Wrestling. They've got good stuff. They will always keep you entertained. And make sure you check the guys out for We Talk Wrestling. They're the yin to our yang.
Absolutely. We're not worthy. So, until next time, cheers!
I'm frozen. I'm trying to think. I had one. I swear I had one.
Enjoy the day, people!
And when I do, I'm going to dedicate it to my sister, Nikki. I'm going to make my husband, Daniel Bryan, so proud. And I'm going to grab that Divas Championship, stand in the middle of the ring, and chant, yes, yes, yes.